I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in today, the 18th of April, and the mountain is not out today. The mountain's not out. That doesn't mean anything to you if you've just moved here. When locals say the mountain, we mean Rainier to the south-southeast of Seattle. It's often invisible, including today. It's not out. It's showing. You see a little foothill. It's showing its ankles. That's about it. Now, the mountain being out, that's a very simple geological observation. If you really want to impress friends when they visit you here, you're going to need to drop some deeper geo-knowledge on them. And our next guest can help you with that. Geology professor Nick Zentner, Central Washington University, has made it his life's mission to teach people how our Northwest landscape got so impressive. So, Professor, what is one cool feature that a local can point to and say to a friend, hey, see that over there? Here's the story.
There is something you can point to, Bill. If you take the ferry out to Bainbridge Island from downtown Seattle and you look to the south, you've got both Alki Point and Restoration Point on Bainbridge Island. And there's this really interesting little shelf. It's a bunch of flat real estate that's right there by the water, but that's a flat shelf that used to be in the water and literally popped out of the water during a big earthquake.
It popped and, out?
Yeah, it was discovered kind of in the mid-1960s and then kind of refined in the early 90s when I was moving to the Northwest. And so it's all related to the Seattle Fault. So the idea is that everything south of that east-west trending crack lifted by about 21 feet at the snap of a finger. And so that bedrock, which should be underwater, was lifted out of the water suddenly, and that platform, those series of platforms, is the great evidence we have, among other things, for this really impressive fault that's also kind of scary.
Yeah, when did this quake happen?
Well, the best date is about the year 900 AD, so more than 1,000 years ago. And the big question, of course, is if that's the last earthquake on this fault, will it happen again? And the answer is yes, but like with many things, we cannot predict exactly when it's going to happen.
Popping 21 feet in the air. What would that be on the Richter scale, do you figure?
Yeah, not only the popping of the land, but some other kinds of deposits were used to try to estimate the magnitude since we're talking so long ago. We're probably magnitude 7.1, possibly as much as 7.4. And so, yeah, we're not talking about a little minor Tumblr that Grandma's China is going to get rattled a little bit. It's probably more than that.
Well, I was mentioning newcomers earlier. Maybe we should have known about that before we moved here, because it tells me what danger we're in.
Well, as I'm kind of fond of saying, you know, there's lots of wonderful geology that's safely tucked in the past, but all of our natural beauty, of course, is a direct result of these things that are still active, and so that's part of the gimmick, I'm afraid. That's part of the brochure. If you come up here and you see this wonderful stuff, that means there's some danger ahead.
Yeah, beautiful because we're volatile. What is something that we're doing that you think is stupid given our geology?
Well, stupid, huh? Well, you know, there's the obvious answer where you build your dream home in a floodplain and then there's a tremendous flood and then you feel like it's just bad luck. I mean, that's just not tuning into how natural systems work. But the opposite of stupid, I guess, is trying to learn about all this wonderful research that's been going on and trying to be updated as current as you can on what we know and what we don't know about earthquake and volcanic risk. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with a couple of these projects we've been working on.
Yeah, I can tell that's really important for you, that you want people to learn about the geology of this place. Why is that? What do you want us to learn and why?
There is interest. People love a particular place, or they have memories of their kids at that particular ridge or something like that. And so if you can make a connection between this interesting science and this kind of intimate family connection stuff, then this becomes not just a passing interest among people, but it is a fervent thing. I've been surprised at the level of interest with many folks with the geology. So I'm just trying to tap into that interest.
Is every part of America equally fascinating if you're interested, or are you prepared to admit now, Professor, that the Pacific Northwest is geologically superior?
Hey, man, I'm happy to admit that. Yeah, you know, I regularly say, you know, this is not Iowa, this is not Nebraska. And first, my first teaching job was in Ohio, Miami of Ohio, in the Cincinnati area. And, you know, there's limestone and cornfields, and that's about it, I'm afraid. So I purposely came out here, and so I'm happy to admit, I'm happy to preach, as a matter of fact, that this is just Disneyland for geologists.
Why have you come to care so much about Washington State geology? Why is this the thing you're spending your life doing?
Well, I think the best answer is I have learned all of this wonderful work that's been done by generations of field geologists. You know, these are tremendous levels of dedication and accuracy and detail. And it ends up on a shelf, you know, or it's a very closed community with just geologists talking to other geologists. And so early on, you know, I'm in my mid-50s now, so this is 30 years ago. Early on, I just realized that all this stuff wasn't getting out there. I mean, it just wasn't being communicated. And it felt like a shame because there's great work. It's not only helping to mitigate hazards in the future, but it's just enjoying a place much more if you have a little perspective. So I kind of tapped into that, and that was before the internet. So you would just give a public lecture. And then, of course, now with video and social media and the internet in general, boy, you can spread the word much easier and much more visually than you could before.
Finally, I mentioned newcomers at the top of this, Professor.
Yeah.
But really, I guess for newbies and long-timers as well, how do you wish that we would walk through life here in Washington?
Well, there's so many things to be interested in, of course, Bill. You know, it's not just the geology, so it seems silly for me to just say everybody should drop all their interest and just pay attention to all this wonderful geology. But I think it's, in a broad sense, it's just being in tune with the natural world. And of course, many of our residents do make it a point to get away from I-5 and get up into the hills a little bit, and there's so much to be gained from that. And so our work with KCTS and Central Washington University, that collaboration has allowed us to get this little PBS program going, and it's just trying to showcase that, and I'm hoping that people, if they're not aware of all these wonderful places and concepts, will kind of take a weekend and go out and see a few of these places.
That PBS series is called Nick on the Rocks. You can see it on KCTS 9 here in Seattle. Nick Zentner, Professor of Geology at Central Washington University. Thanks so much for the time, Professor.
Thank you, Bill.
Again, Nick on the Rocks airs on KCTS Sundays at 6:30. Or you can watch them online right now because we are tweeting out a link at KUOW.